Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Carl Mullen's music-making journey started more than six decades ago, sitting around his mum's kitchen table in Dublin. When Carl migrated to the States, he brought his love for Celtic music with him and formed the Celtic rock band Plowman's Lunch in 1993 with a Grammy-nominated track, Whiskey in the Fields. Some have said his latest record, Fearless, is the best solo music he's ever recorded. Carl and I talk about his musical journey and his new record on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Carl. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Glad to make the connection and good to talk with you as well. So you've got a new record out that we want to chat about for a few minutes. If you don't mind, let's kind of back up a little bit and talk about how you got to where you are. Did I read correctly? You grew up in Ireland. Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Dublin.
Okay.
And played there as a teenager. Always played music. Everyone in the house. My mother was a singer, and we all kind of grew up singing in the kitchen and all that stuff, Irish ballads. And then I came to Pittsburgh. I came to the States in 76.
Okay.
20, and I was an illegal alien for 15 years. And ended up in a great band in Pittsburgh called Carsickness.
Yeah, and that was a punk band, right?
Well, people said it was a punk band, but it was more kind of avant-garde, noise-making collective band out of punk. It certainly didn't sound like the Sex Pistols.
Right, okay.
It sounded more like Soft Machine or something, you know?
Yeah, okay. How did you get from the Irish-flavored, I'm assuming even early Celtic-flavored music into that alternative, if we want to call it that, punk scene?
Well, it was like a breath of fresh air when you were in your 20s then, and, you know, all the prog rock thing was going to such excesses with light shows and all kinds of twins. So it was just really fresh and to come up with bands and punk bands or rock bands in London. I was just using three chords and some youthful venom to get the message across.
Yeah, that's cool. So how long did you stay with that style?
It wasn't too far, you know, afield from Irish ballads anyway.
Yeah, okay.
We played in that band for quite a while, and then it kind of ran its course. We had a great time, and we played all over the U.S. and toured and made friends, started our own label, all that kind of DIY stuff.
Uh-huh.
But then all the same people, we morphed into this Celtic kind of folk band called The Plowman's Lunch, and it was the same people. We just kind of woke up one morning and changed direction. But it was all the same people, which is kind of interesting.
Did the fan base go with you?
Yeah, it did for the most part.
Yeah, that's cool.
It did for the most part, because we were always about trying to do something new and something different, something original. Although, kind of, you know, we nodded to the people who we liked and grew up with and listened to.
Yeah.
We kind of wanted to do our own thing.
Was the Celtic feel something that was intentional, or was just kind of the migration?
Well, it was funny. It was kind of always there. The synthesizer player from Carsickness was always a tin whistle player.
Oh, okay.
So he just put down a synthesizer and played his tin whistle. And the sax player was the same, and the drummer was the same, and I was the same, and I was writing the songs the same, and singing the songs the same. It was just something different, you know?
Yeah.
We'd done the Carsickness thing, and it was time to do something different.
And you guys were together for how long?
God, I think I don't remember all this stuff. Quite a while. I'd say 10, 11, 12 years, something like that.
Okay.
We played up and down the East Coast, New York City, all the Irish bars. We played at a lot of the soccer festivals. We played in Meadowlands Stadium.
Okay.
After the Italy-Ireland soccer game in the World Cup. things like that. We played Paddy Riley's, we played a Black 47 and all that stuff in New York City.
And when that was over, if I read correctly, moved into kind of, what's the word, day job, maybe booking and doing some artist kind of things. Did the music stay with you?
Yeah. I'd always done the booking thing because, to be perfectly honest, we could never make a living doing what it was in one season.
Yeah.
And when we were younger, we were terribly disappointed. Now, in hindsight, we're kind of really glad because we've had a very interesting life pursuing other art forms.
Mm-hmm.
The drummer and the photographer and the synthesizer, Tim Whistle player, just released a new album called Music for Plants. And it's recorded the biofeedback of plants, actually, making sounds and algorithms and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's just been really interesting.
Yeah.
We've got to do all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started booking venues in Pittsburgh, and then I morphed into Philly and was booking World Cafe Live in Philly for about 7 years full-time.
And you played along the way, personally?
No. I didn't really play much at all. I played a little bit. Many of you always have your instruments. I played, wrote songs still. I'm also a painter, so I put a lot of time into painting at that stage.
Painting artistically, right? Not as a house painter, is that right?
Correct. Although I've done that as well.
Yeah. Okay. So what drew you back to the music?
Well, the World Cafe Live thing. I got laid off when the kind of that recession came. I moved to DC, and then I moved up here. And for me, the music has always been about kind of making a community. In Pittsburgh, we had a songwriters' night at my house for years and years and years. I always kind of found new talents and new artists and gave them opportunities in my booking days.
Mm-hmm.
And where I live up here, I have a little barn, so I started putting on music in the barn, putting on shows up here, and started meeting local musicians and formed a band up here.
Okay.
The Wandering Rocks, and we made a record and went back to Pittsburgh and played and all that stuff. And we did that for a couple of years, and then I was in another band, and now I'm currently in a band called Double Diamond, which is a little female singer-songwriter from up here.
Okay.
But then when COVID came, all of that got put on hold.
Yeah.
And when COVID came, I just found myself alone, in the bedroom, with no audience or nothing, and came up with a new way of writing songs that I hadn't done before. And that's how the album came out of Fearless.
When you say a new way of writing songs that you hadn't done before, what does that mean?
Well, I think when you put on headphones, it was almost like I made a little home studio. When I had the headphones on and I used one of those, condenser mics up close, you really, really, I don't know, did you hear yourself or sing to record?
No, I'm around music and been around music, so I understand, but I'm not a musician in that
really
sense.
It's so intimate. Really, you usually pick up your own breath, and you're there, you're singing to this microphone, and it becomes a different kind of performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think it becomes a different kind of theater, and you kind of just close my eyes and wrote these really intimate, personal songs, and most of them are first takes, actually. And, so that's one night, when I went out into my barn to do some sessions, I closed my eyes and I kind of didn't even realize that the power had died. And I'm there singing away for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
I opened up complete darkness and there's like mice running about the place. And on some of the recordings, you can hear the wind howling.
Wow.
That kind of thing. So it was really, it was quite magical to record it, to be perfectly honest with you. And I loved it. And I sent the tracks to my good friend and producer, Kilkenny Island, John Walsh, who's an amazing traditional Irish guitar player. He tours with Paddy Keenan, the great bagpiper.
Mm-hmm.
And John, mixed them and mastered them and on some songs put a little bass or a little drum track here or there. But it's mostly just me on it.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Music Magazine.
Welcome back to the interview. I listened to several of the tracks on the record, and there was this, the way I would describe it is that there was an emphasis on the emotion, the lyrics and the emotion, and the music was just this kind of quiet support system in the background. It was a very soothing almost, but very mysterious even. Very neat.
Good.
I like what you did with that, and I like the way you described how it was a new style. Because it felt to me like it must be a new, something new from what I had heard some of your earlier music.
Yeah. It was a new way of singing, it's a new way of writing. Almost, you know, it's like not a diary, but a lot of short stories, little short personal stories. Because again, with this COVID thing, this was last year when we were in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really kind of unnerving and frightening, I think, for all of us. We didn't know what the hell was going on, or
right.
Where were we? And, you know, a year later, we're more used to it, and I've even been vaccinated since, so I'm not as fearful.
Sure.
But it was pretty lonely, I think, for a while, for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, late at night in a room with my headphones on, closing my eyes with the guitar there, you know, you try to find some light at the end of the dark tunnel.
Has songwriting always been a part of your music?
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always been writing songs since a kid. I love writing songs. I drive my family mad because I'm always saying, well, that's a great line for a song. And I love everyday speech and ordinary things. And, you know, I'm always writing down snippets, you know, on a train, someone says something like, oh, that's a great lyric for a song. Or a headline in a newspaper or all kinds of things.
Do you keep them together? Do you keep those snippets in a format that you can go to readily?
Well, these days I do. It used to be all handwritten years ago, cigarette packets and napkins, and sometimes on your arm or on your fist. But now I have that lovely, you know, laptop computer thing. And
sure.
What's it called?
Notes
or something. And I write it there, and it's on my phone, and it's on my iPad. And I paint in the same manner. I sometimes paint, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, or 8, or maybe even 10 pictures all at once, and it may just end up as one picture.
Huh.
And that somehow, I write the song like that as well. I could have 10 mediocre songs or 10 songs that I was trying to write, come out all about.
Yeah.
But then one day, I'm flipping through that one, and that one line from that song, and that other bit from that other song, and what I came up with on that day, somehow, you know, it makes it come together.
Do you have a practice of songwriting outside of your collecting the pieces? Do you is it a daily thing, weekly thing? Do you is it preset? How do you put all that together?
I'm always doing it. That's why I drive them all crazy all the time. I'm always doing it. I'm always whistling, making up songs, drawing or painting constantly.
So it's more organic than, you know, every day at 3 o'clock I'm going to sit down and work on my music kind of thing.
Oh yeah, and I never try to force it. Yeah, I learned that with the painting. If it's not happening, I walk away from it.
Hmm.
And I find out about the songs. If it's not happening, just leave it. I mean, I've gone back to the lyrics 10 years later. Turn the page over and go, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. And that works now, you know.
How far ahead do you have what you feel like would be workable songs? Are you thinking ahead on the next project?
You know, I mean, I really think, I wish, I'm not particularly great at being a commercial artist. I really don't think in terms of that. I just kind of write the stuff or paint the stuff or make the stuff. The album is going to come out, the vinyl is going to come out, I believe, late August. So I've already written 3 or 4 songs. But my producer friend is trying to tell me just do another album.
Okay.
But I definitely want to have some new tracks on the record.
Okay. So in addition to what you've already created for this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got 3 or 4 already finished, recorded, everything.
Now, is this particular project, which is Fearless, is that right?
Correct.
Is that out now, available?
Yeah, Fearless is available as a digital download on Get Hip Records.
Okay.
It's on their Bandcamp page and on their page as well. I also have it on my Bandcamp page, and Fearless will become a vinyl album in late August on Get It.
Okay.
And we've got a little bit of airplay, you know, like 2 in the morning in the Scottish radio station, 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
I got left Wales, and I got on, I think, 1 in the morning in Ireland a couple of times.
Okay.
And there was, you know, just small little things, but lots of nice from people and strangers who've picked it up. Get Hip have a pretty good distribution network in terms of it's already on every conceivable platform that there is out there. Ones I didn't even know existed.
Right.
It's on Amazon. Do people buy records on Amazon?
Yeah, I do. My wife does.
Wow, I never go to Amazon.
Yeah.
collect, but it's on, you know, iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, well, I should correct that. She bought a hard copy of an artist on Amazon. So there are still a few outlets for physical CDs. Those of us over 40 still listen to CDs.
It might come back. I mean, people are now listening on cassette. I'd love to go back to cassette.
I know. As bad of a quality as it ends up being usually, it's still a fun medium to listen to.
I love them. We used to cut them up and paste them back together.
Right.
And make them go backwards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Hammer. She loves all that.
Yeah. Yeah, the younger generation doesn't know the thrill of creating analog that way. It was, yeah, we did that too.
Messing with it as well.
What do you hope to do with this project? Do you want to get out and tour with it eventually? What is the plan for the music?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, there's a big festival up here near where we live, Fresh Grass Festival. I'll probably get to play that and have the vinyl with that. I'll probably play with that with the girls in Double Diamond as well. And touring-wise, I mean, I teach art to kids, so I don't have the luxury of being in my 20s anymore and, you know, touring about the place.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly we'll play in New York City. We want to go to Ireland. We'll probably hit Pittsburgh. We might do DC in Boston, not too far from where we are. There's Toronto. So selective dates. And we stay around the area at all, from coffee bars to bars. But a lot of times people are doing what I'm doing here. I put on these concerts at the barn. Hopefully we'll get back to that in the fall. And other people are doing similar kinds of things that you know, outside of venues, that there are opportunities to play at mm-hmm. different kinds of circuits.
And will you go out basically solo or try to put a band together and take it with you?
Probably just out solo, no money to be made.
Right.
So I'm going to sleep in 3 minutes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I also like to make a record that when you go to see the artist, it sounds like the record.
Yes.
And I guess if he's orchestra, he makes a record and you go see, you're like, where's the freaking orchestra?
Yeah, right.
So if you get this record, I want to show up in your yard, it'll sound like the record.
Complete with the barn and no power, right?
Necessarily to acoustic show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you told me where the folks could find it. Is there a place where they could reach out to you if they want to connect in a different way? Website, email address,
sure.
Facebook?
Email, Instagram. It's Carmelon 2020 on Instagram. It's fearless. So carmelon@gmail.com. And if anyone's interested, I'd love to hear about, you know, playing in someone's room or their barn or their basement or their backyard. I'm based out of Williamstown in Massachusetts.
Great. Okay. And give me the Bandcamp, where folks can get the music again.
They can get it from my Bandcamp, Carl Mullen with Bandcamp, but also Get Hip Records. Get Hip Records have their own Bandcamp page.
Good. Thank you, great. Carl. This has been great. I appreciate it. And I wish you well with the new record.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.